Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, the Christian Direct Seller, and I want to welcome you to our call today. God is so amazing. I just love this time of year because it usually means that somewhere in the near future, I'm going to get to go on a vacation. And we've done, like, extravagant vacations, and we've also done just some really awesome staycations. And so those can be just as great as well. I know a lot of people come over to my house, and they kind of laugh. They look in my backyard, and I've got it all pretty with flowers and lots of landscaping, and there's bird houses, and there's all kinds of pretty stepping stones and some statuary and things like that. And in the back of our property, I've got a little 10-foot blow-up pool because I like to just be able to have just a few minutes to go out there. And we don't have a big pool because we've got an incredible pool in our subdivision. But once in a while, I like to just be able to grab my floaty and just jump in the pool for about 10 or 15 minutes, go in my mind to my own staycation. And I was praying about what to talk to you about this week, and the Lord said, you know what? It's fun to go on a road trip. And I thought, yeah, it is fun to go on a road trip, and how excited you are when you're getting ready to go. And most of us go on a road trip when we go on some sort of a vacation, even if it's just someplace fairly close or just down to the park. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about God's road trip and being driven by the love of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to open in prayer real quick, and then we'll start our study. Father God, thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace, your wisdom. Lord, we just worship you. We adore you. You are amazing. And we just are so humbled and blessed that we can be here together and that you've called us and you've chosen us, just like it tells us in Isaiah 41. Lord, I pray that you would speak through my mouth of clay. Give me supernatural recall of your word and your wisdom, Lord. I pray that you will help me to minister to those that are listening, either live or to the replay, Lord. I pray that none of us will be the same when we leave here. Lord, we love you, that you love us so much, that you've given us each other and you've given us your word. We honor and praise you. I ask that everything I say and do please you. I surrender my life, my business, my own will, my desire to you. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I get ready to go on a road trip, I'm just going to be honest with you. I love to pack snacks. I love great things to go with me. I pick out some of my favorite foods and love walking down the aisles of H-E-B and picking out my snacks and my drinks. And it's just a really fun time. And we make sure that no matter what, when we get in the car, I don't care how much luggage we have, we make sure that we can get to the cooler and that we can get to our snacks because that's part of what makes it really great. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Holy Spirit it's a refreshing. It's where we grab our power or our fuel. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we get really thirsty for the Lord, and he quenches our thirst. And so, to me, that reminds me of that cooler. And our snack can be like the Word of God, because it's like our bread of life, right? So it's important that anytime we're ready to start a journey or really want to serve the Lord, that we realize that we don't go anywhere without the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, because those are the first and most important things. Now, a lot of times what I have to do first is I have to look in my rearview mirror after I've got the snacks, we're in the car, I look in my rearview mirror to pull out. So I kind of might glance at the past and think, okay, this looks good, and look behind me. But once I see that everything's clear, what do? I back up, and then I put my car into drive. I don't decide that I'm going to keep driving looking in my rearview mirror. Can you imagine what a mess we'd be if we were all driving around on our road trip looking in our rearview mirror and trying to drive through our rearview mirror? Number one, we'd probably get a neck ache. And number two, we would not have a clear picture and not be able to go as quickly in the direction that God would have for us. So it doesn't make sense to always be looking at the past. You know, that's how the enemy keeps us trapped and distracted and keeps us slowed down. Is he has us look at our past and get stuck in the mire and the guilt and the shame and the condemnation of our past. He also, once we get going and we start driving forward, a lot of times he'll put some distractions in our way. And, you know, we have to make sure that we're focusing on the road and we're not looking at all the shiny objects that are going along on the right side or on the left side. He tells us in his word in several occasions that he promises to keep us on his path, not looking at the left or to the right. And how we do that is by the Word of God, because it's a lamp unto our feet. Now, I don't know about you, but when I would go on road trips with my kids, we loved to drive at night because the kids would sleep. We could go so much further. But we needed to have lamps on the front of our vehicle, right? So we wanted to make sure that everything was safe and sound. And our light is definitely the Word of God, because it's the light unto our path. But as soon as we get going down the road, isn't it inevitable that about, I don't know, seems always like about 20 minutes to a half hour, somebody needs to go to the rest stop? And so that's one thing that we always just laugh about, and we just always count on, that pretty soon, once we get started, somebody's going to need to rest. And I want to encourage you, especially if you're on a road trip with the Lord, to take times to rest. Rest in Him. Take time with Him. You know, I was reading in the Word last night when I was just getting ready to go to bed, and the Lord just brought up to my remembrance how important it is, as I was reading in Isaiah, that we rest in Him. He promises to renew our strength in Isaiah 41, that we're going to be really strong if we rest in Him, if we trust in Him. One of the things that I like to do when I'm on a road trip is I like to get my jam on. And I don't know if that's something you like to do, but I love to get my iPod all ready beforehand and have it all ready with some fun music and then some great worship music. I also put some praise music on and some prayer music. I also have really relaxing music so I can just soak in God's presence. And so make sure that you get your jam on and sing as loud as you possibly can before the Lord. You know, He's created us to do what? To work, to try to strive for greatness, try to strive for goodness. No, what does He tell us in the Word? He's created us to worship Him. To worship Him. That's what He really wants. And so it tells us in the Word that if we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, but we enter into His courts, we go in deeper into His presence with worship. And it tells us that He inhabits our praise. He inhabits our worship. His glory comes when we worship. So take time to worship Him each and every day. Now, that's a little bit different than praise, because praise is just being thankful. Oh, Lord, I just want to thank You for this and thank You for that. Don't come to Him with your big laundry list of things. I mean, I do, when I get ready for a road trip, start making a list of things so I don't forget. But I don't come to the Lord that way with a great big list of things, because, you know, He already knows what we need. He does tell us to ask, and He'll give us anything that we ask. However, we can't really even get into that intimate place of relationship with Him until we worship. So that's why I recommend that you grab your jam and you worship and you praise Him. Now, a lot of us need to make sure that we've got a GPS, you know? We used to use maps a long time ago, but we don't do that so much anymore, do we? We use a GPS. What is our GPS? To make sure that we're totally on track and we know where we're going, because otherwise, you know, sometimes it is fun to take a road trip and not really realize where you're going and just kind of see where it takes you. But for most of us, we've got a destination in mind. So I want to encourage you to grab your GPS, which is the Word of God. You know, and I'm going to encourage you not to just do it haphazardly. Be systematic. I'm going to encourage you not to start reading the Word of God in Genesis, because that's the beginning, right? Everybody thinks, oh, that's where we need to start. But let me tell you, it gets pretty boring as you go through and you learn about all the lineage. And then you hit Numbers, and it's like, whoa, this is kind of boring. So I'm going to encourage you that you, for wisdom, you read Proverbs. For comfort, you read Psalms. And I encourage everybody to start reading the word out of the Gospel of John, because that's where we truly see Jesus and see His love that He has for us. And I want you to feel that same love. Also, I want you to think about taking people with you on your road trip. I don't know about you, but for me, I love going on a road trip with my family or my friends, and we just laugh and we have so much fun. But we grow together. We experience things together. We see things together that we may not have ever seen before. We might do some excursions and go places and do things that we've never done before, and the trip is so much sweeter with other people. You know, it tells us in the Word, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, We need to make sure that we're in a good church. I was really excited. I was talking to Terry before we started the recording, and one of her praise reports was just praying about where to go to church, and somebody invited her, and she said the minute she walked in the door, she knew that that's where God had for her and her grandkids. But the greater thing is she had a great praise report. She said, you know, that she invited a friend to come to church because they were mentioning that they were looking for a good church family too. And she did. And it was really neat because she had a friend come, and then her friend already knew somebody that was a member at that body. So how exciting to just keep that together where you're growing and you're maybe discipling. I'm going to encourage you to get involved in a prayer group or a small group. So it's an intimate body that you're really connecting with, that people know really what's going on with you and your family and your heart and your spiritual growth, and they can lift you up because it tells us in the Word to encourage one another. It tells us to lift each other up, to carry the burdens of the brother, to intercede for each other, and that's how we can really, really do that. One of the other things I love on a road trip, and the reason why I think I love this is because I can so get into my jam and start singing out as loud as I can and just having a good time dancing in my seat, is I like to use cruise control. I can remember having cars before we had cruise control, and it got a little tiring. My hip hurt a little bit. It took more energy to drive. But when I get into cruise control, oh, my goodness, it's so much more enjoyable. And the same thing happens is when we allow God to control our path. When we go ahead and we get up to speed and we hit that cruise control, we get an incredible peace of God. And that's the peace that goes beyond understanding. That's exactly what God told us he wanted to do and how he would direct us, that we would have that peace of God. And it would just be so, so enjoyable. Now, we've kind of talked a little bit about what the journey kind of looks like with a road trip, at least for me and my family. I bet a lot of you are saying, yeah, that's what we do too, that's what we do too. A lot of times I'll try to meet new people along the journey. A lot of times I'll bring some business things and pass out some business and cards and get contact information and just be friendly and grow and expand. That kind of goes along with evangelizing or maybe even sharing the gospel. And yes, I've led people to the Lord on vacation before and on my road trips, and it's been awesome as well. But one of the things that I really want to talk to you about today is we've got an incredible vehicle, and we've got an incredible engine in our car. I kind of look at the engine as the thing that makes it go. That's God. That's God on the inside of our spirit man. And if you're a believer, you know that you've asked Jesus into your heart, made him the Lord of your life, asked him to forgive you of your sin, that he's done it. Don't let the enemy tell you that you've got a bad engine. Know that your engine's good. It's clean. It's ready to go, and it's been all tuned up, and you are set and ready to go. But you've also got an incredible vehicle, and that can be your business. The Lord's given you this amazing vehicle, and some of us, we've got some of them that are pink. We've got some of them that are all kinds of different things, right? They look different. They may smell different. They may act a little different. Some of them might just be very energy conscious and environmental conscious. Some of them might be, you know, sports cars or maybe only two-seaters or maybe you've got a big van or a bus. But your vehicle can be used to be bringing other people on this journey with you. I want to encourage you with that. But as I was looking, and I really thought, you know, what really drives us? What should really drive us as Christian direct sellers or Christian entrepreneurs? And I thought, you know what? It should not be any different than what the Lord has said is to drive us. And that's the love of God. If we acted just like Jesus, can you imagine the incredible road trip we would have? I mean, look at his road trip. It's right there in the Gospels. Look at the road trip of Paul. Look at the road trip of John. Do you know it tells us in the Word that they're scribing everything that we do just like the Bible was written? That we have a great cloud of witnesses watching and scribing and cheering. Do you know that God lavishes his love over us? Oh, my goodness, isn't that amazing? I know when I was studying the word last night before I was ready to leave my office and go to bed, I got into my massage chair, which is my thinking chair, and I just massaged my back, and I had on some great, just really nice worship and soaking music on. And as I was praying and started to pray in the Spirit, the Lord just said, just crawl up into my lap. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience because I could really feel the love of Jesus and his love just lavish over me and just kind of melt any concerns I had on my heart, brought me into a great place of perfect peace. Maybe that's what you do at the rest stop. I don't know. Maybe you go and you look at beautiful scenery and just take some time to take it in and soak it all in. I want to encourage you to do that with your relationship with the Lord, but also to give that same lavished love to other people. He tells us in John 3:16 that he loved us so much that he gave. He gave his only son that whoever believed in him wouldn't perish but would have eternal life. When's the last time that you truly shared that love on that level with other people so that they would have eternal life? It tells us in Romans 5:8 that God shows his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He laid his life down for us. How many of us put a precondition on someone else for our love? Oh, well, if they would just do this, or they treated me better, or they didn't gossip about me, or they didn't hurt me, then I'd show them love. Is that really how God treated us? We've gone through some amazing situations. I mean, some real challenges the last couple of years, especially this last year. And over again, the Lord just kept ministering to my heart. Anytime I would think like, wow, that really hurt, Lord. That hurt my feelings. Or I don't know if I can keep going on. He would always remind me in a gentle, sweet way. I'd hear his voice and he'd say, but you know what? I loved you when you were unlovable. I loved you when you were angry. You were angry at my children and you were angry at me. I loved you when you were unlovable, dirty, still sinning. I didn't say, get your life straight, girl, and then I'm going to love you. I just loved you. And it reminded me that if we don't love in a way that shows the love of Christ to other people, and we call ourselves Christians, how will they ever truly know how much God loves them? I would hate to get to heaven and have the Lord say, oh, well, you know what? You just weren't very lovable, and they didn't see that. They didn't see my love in you, and I had put you in that place so that you could be the hands and feet for me, and you could show them that you loved them. You might not love their sin, and you didn't have to condone the sin, and you didn't have to encourage the sin or equip them to sin, but you needed to love them in a way like I love you. Galatians 2:20 says, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So even if you just feel like, you know what, Lord, I just don't even know if I can love them, ask the Lord because he tells you he'll give you anything you ask. He promises to strengthen you. He tells us in Philippians 4:13 that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Say, just tell the Lord, Lord, I need you to help me love them. I'm willfully saying I'm submitting to you and I'm going to love them, but I need you to teach me how to love them. I need you to show me how I can love them. I need you to show me how to live by faith, loving them even though I can't see it. Ephesians 2:4 and 5 says, but God being rich in his mercy because of the great love of which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. It's by that grace we've been saved. Are you showing grace to others? Are you showing them that love? Are you being driven by the love? You know, God tells us in 1 John 4, 9-11, in this the love of God was made manifest among us. So don't worry about that maybe you're not sure if you can love someone. You've got everything that Jesus did at the cross inside of your heart. He's given you all that power. He's given you all that love. You need to receive it. You need to ask for healing because usually hurting people hurt people. Usually we've got some form of unforgiveness in our life that prevents us from truly being driven by love. For those of you that are feeling God speaking to your heart, maybe whispering in that loving, kind voice saying, yeah, there is some unforgiveness in your heart, or there is some healing that needs to take place. Or, you know what, you haven't been lovable or loving. There's a couple of prayers on my website, and they're absolutely free. I want you to go over to my website, BeckySpieth.com, BeckySpieth.com, and go to the free, and then there it says free downloads. If you click there's two prayers there, and one is on forgiveness and one is on financial blessing. I want to encourage you to go there, and I want to encourage you to print those out and to pray those prayers, because I know they work. It's confessing the word of God over your life. It's so, so powerful. You know, God tells us that He loves those that love Him and keep His commandments. He promised us in Deuteronomy 7:9 that for those that loved Him and kept His commandments to 1,000 generations, that He would be faithful to us. And so just stand on that and know that God loves us no matter what. And He loves those that love Him and seek after Him diligently and find Him. And Proverbs 8:17 reminds us of that. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that He knows the plans for us, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give us a hope and a future. That sure sounds like a loving God, doesn't it? How do you pass that on to people in your life and in your business? Do you speak life into them, or are you judgmental? Do you look at only the circumstances, or do you stand in faith and speak life into their life? Do you speak life into them? Do you show them that they have a hope and a future? Maybe it's through your business opportunity. Maybe it's just like Terry was talking about, inviting them to church. Ask the Lord how you can bring life to them, even in the most difficult situations and even with the most difficult people. And God wants us to respond to Him in thanksgiving and being thankful for Him, especially for His love. All right, so do you show a spirit of gratitude and appreciation to those on your team, maybe your host, your customers, maybe those difficult people that you have to deal with the customer service issues? What about your company executives and your customer service reps? I used to send in cards and just call in and just say, I just wanted to call in and just say, you know, this is Becky Steve, and I appreciate you. I know that you've got a tough job, and a lot of people call in to complain. I just wanted to call in and say, you know what, you're doing a great job. We appreciate you, and I can't think of anybody else that would be better at this. You're awesome. Thanks for doing what you do. Send in birthday cards to them. Get to know them personally. Do that with your company executives and your regional sales managers and sister consultants that are maybe a part of your inner circle that holds you accountable. Well, we've kind of gone on a road trip together. And I hope that you're really driven by the love of God. I hope that this has encouraged you today, given you a different perspective on how to take this week forward. I think that to me, I just wanted to encourage you, and I wanted to thank you for going on this road trip together with me, being a part of the Christian Direct Seller, being a part of our Bible study and prayer call together, being on our Facebook page, posting encouragement, posting prayer requests, taking advice about how to be a good Christian Direct Seller. Thank you for allowing me to pour into your life. One of the things I want to encourage you before we go to the Lord in prayer is to really start praying about attending our beach retreat. We're going to do a beach retreat this fall, early fall. And we're finalizing the details on that in the next couple of weeks, so you'll have more information on that. But we're going to have a time of healing, both physical healing and spiritual healing, emotional healing, and healing for your business. And then we're going to do some really fun and amazing things that are going to help you grow your business and real skill set development, and have a really good time together. But start praying about that, because we're going to be offering that out this fall, and we'll be starting to announce that really soon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, because I want to pray a blessing over you and your business today. Father God, thank you so much that we could come together. Thank you that we are on an amazing road trip with you, that you've provided the snacks and the drinks for us, that you've given us the GPS, and you've given us an amazing vehicle with a strong, strong engine. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for each person that's listening. Lord, I do pray a blessing over each and every person that's listening. I pray that your favor would go up before them. We do call forth, Lord, good paying clients and hosts and business partners, Lord, that are calling them and to give them good jobs and cash and parties and each and every situation. Lord, I thank you that you've given us supernatural wisdom and direction that we can hear your voice. Lord, I ask forgiveness for areas that we may have held unforgiveness, or we may not have loved the way that you would have loved, or maybe we didn't take advantage of the opportunities before us and we decided we'd stay at home, or we would stay in our office, or we wouldn't reach out to your people. You've given us this position and this position of influence to reach out to others, to love them, to support them, to be that good witness. Lord, we just come before you. We're humbled before your throne, but we do come boldly as you tell us in the precious name of Jesus. I thank you that you allow us to do this and that you give us, you've given us the keys of heaven to unlock the provision here on earth. We thank you that our provision comes from you, Lord. We thank you that you are providing. Lord, you know Terry's heart and the financial issues that she's having, as well as the concern that she has for her son in Afghanistan and the additional responsibility that she has for raising her grandchildren, Lord. You tell us that you will provide for us, that you will give us a life of abundance. And you tell us, Lord, that we will prosper as our soul prospers. So, Lord, I pray that if there's anything in her mind, her will, or emotions that she needs to repent of, Lord, that you would bring that to her remembrance and that she would repent of that quickly and move forward in the abundance that you have. Lord, we know that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that all of your riches are available to us now, bought and paid for by our Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. Mr. Devil, we're going to tell you right now, you are the thief, and you have no right over our cash flow. We are tithers, and we are givers, and we are testing, and we are testing our Lord, and he promises to always fulfill. According to Malachi 3, we have authority over you, Mr. Devil, and whatever we bind or whatever we forbid on earth, heaven backs us up. So right now we're putting you on notice that you may not touch our cash flow. We declare right now, Satan, that you have to take your hands off of our money, take your hands off of our provision, take your hands off of every resource, any person related to our cash flow. Lord, Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you give us this power over the enemy. In Jesus' name, we do command, Satan, that you take your hands off of the businesses that we work for and any organizations related to our financial supply. They are off-limit to you, including our hosts, clients, customers, team members, and prospects. You must cease in all of your activities and any assignment that's been against us. We cancel in Jesus' name. You must desist in your plans and ideas against us right now. And for those that are listening, in every way, you stop harassing all of us. Stop harassing our cash flow right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, Satan, we command that you and your demons take your hands off. That cash belongs to me. That belongs to us and to those listening. And I declare right now that financial provision is being made. It is being called forth. I call it forth. Financial abundance and flow will flow into our lives throughout this entire year and throughout our career and all of our careers. Father God, I just declare right now that you are with us and that everybody wants to do business with us. God, please send us the right deals, the right business, the right prospects so that we can continue to honor and serve you and develop your kingdom. We receive the financial increase. We receive your increase financially. We receive better hosts, better parties, better appointments, better shows, better clients, better customers, better ventures, better jobs, and we receive increase in our salaries, our commissions, our bonuses. Right now in Jesus' name, we receive unexpected money from unexpected sources. We receive money in the mail. We receive money from every direction, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Money and resources come to us because God can trust us. Lord, we ask forgiveness if we've ever proven in a way that you could not trust us with your resources and your provision. We declare right now that we are blessed of God, and we are a blessing to the church, and we're a blessing to the poor. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing. We have plenty and more than enough to give to every good work because we are blessed to be a blessing to the last revival before your coming and before your kingdom, Lord Jesus. I receive abundance and I have abundance, Lord, and we receive abundance in every aspect and provision in every way in the name of Jesus. I unlock our cash flow for this business, for this year, for this career, in Jesus' name. We praise you, God, and we thank you, Father. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will bless this journey. We love you, we thank you, and I thank you for this honor to serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.